our Bibles this morning. Jonah chapter number 2, and actually look at verse number 1 of chapter, verse 17 of chapter number 1, and then we'll go right into verse number 2, chapter 2. I'm getting tongue twisted. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head." And then look in verse number 9. It says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." If you notice on your bulletin, I put that verse to ponder. That last part, he says, "I will pay that I have vowed." I know some of you looked at that verse and you saw the two that's and you thought, well, that's kind of unique. But what was Jonah saying? He's saying, I'm going to pay that I have vowed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then we'll dive into the message. Father, we pray that you would work in our midst. I pray that today we would pay that we have vowed. Lord, help us not to be like Jonah, sulking in the belly of the whale. But Lord, I pray that we be Jonah on the other side, submitted and doing the will of God. We need your help. Challenge us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you have ever been at all in the ocean. I remember a couple years ago, my family, we had a family reunion down in the Caribbean. We went to the Turks and Caicos Islands, and we were all hanging out there. And I think it was Christmas Eve, if my memory serves me, or Christmas Day, one of those days. Christmas Eve, I think it was. We decided we were going to go rent a boat. And, of course, you understand, everybody here, my family's not like me and my brother. We've got 12 kids. So, and all the grandkids, my poor mom can't keep up with any of the grandkids' birthdays. And man, it's just crazy, you know, the amount of that. I mean, it's crazy. We have a crazy time together. But I mean, I'm talking about, man, one big clan. And we all go out in the ocean, and we're having a great time. We went snorkeling. If you've ever been to the Caribbean or the Great Barrier Reef, you've done some snorkeling. You know, it's awesome. And maybe you see all these cool different kinds of fish. And the tour guide that was leading the boat was jumping into the ocean, and he was going conch diving. And if you've ever had conch, it's an amazing fish. Well, it's not a fish. It's kind of like a shellfish, kind of a... It's just awesome. It'll transform your life. You take that, man, he would go down, he dove down, he grabbed that conch, and pulled it out of that shell, he cut it up right there, put some fresh lemon on it, Tabasco sauce. You have conch salad, it's amazing, and it may tear you up if you eat too much of it, I promise you that. But man, we're eating conch salad, we're going, you know, we went swimming, we went, you know, had the tubes out there, we're going tubing in the ocean. We just had a great time hanging out that Christmas Eve on that ship. Well, I remember a couple days later, we all got together. We said, man, we had such a great time with that. And let's do it again. By the way, if you have a great time, don't do it again, all right? Just live on the memories of a great time. We went out that second time, and it was really, really wavy. And now we're out there, and my daughters were getting sick. My wife was probably sick. My sisters that were pregnant, man, they were sick. I'm talking about it was not enjoyable that second day because of the waves and because of the turbulence of that ocean. And, you know, as I was thinking about that experience, and I was thinking about the story here in Jonah chapter number 1 and 2, this is exactly where Jonah's at. The Bible says that in chapter number 1, we talked about that last week, about the storm that came. And that God used the storm to get a hold of Jonah's life. And now Jonah has been thrown overboard. And Jonah, I don't know exactly what they gave him when they threw him overboard. I really don't think they just threw him overboard and said, you know, sink to the bottom of the ocean. All right. I think these sailors may have said, all right, Jonah, we're going to give you a little Dora the Explorer life jacket. You know, that's in my mind. And you can visit it in your memory if you like. But that's in my mind. That's what I see, all right. Dora the Explorer life jacket. And he's doing, you know, the doggy paddle. That's just what I see Jonah in verse 17, right? He's out there in the ocean all by himself. The sea is now calm. The ship that he was on is sailing toward the harbor. And, man, those sailors are glad that they're going to survive. There's Jonah, though. Man, I don't know about you, but can't you see Jonah looking around? Man, he's looking and he's looking and he's looking. And in the midst of that ocean, man, up and down with those waves. And maybe he's getting a little bit of seasickness. And then he realizes, I better not throw up because, man, that'll attract sharks and other fish. And there Jonah is. And he just is a mess. And that's when God sends that whale. And by the way, Jesus called it a whale, so I believe it was a whale, all right? If Jesus said it's a whale, good enough for me, all right? But here comes this whale, this great fish, swimming toward Jonah. I don't know about you, but can't you see that in your mind? There he is, up and down, little Dora the Explorer life jacket on, and doing the doggy paddle, and then he realizes that whale's swimming toward him. And I don't know if he had a bucket list on things he wanted to do before he died, but maybe that was on his list, you know? I want to see a whale before I die, right? And he pulls out that list. He's like, yep, that's the last thing on my checklist. Now I can go, you know. And then he realizes there's not much hope. And then Jonah realizes that whale is swimming toward him. You know, I find it ironic in our lives so many times. We will be in the midst of the storm. And boy, we'll be going through trials and tribulations because of our sin. Because of the choices we made. Jonah was there in that sea because of the decision he made. And here comes that whale swimming toward him. And boy, I wonder if Jonah tried to get away from that whale. I don't know. But man, that whale opened that mouth up, swallowed Jonah whole. And then, you know, the reality is Jonah chose the sin, but Jonah could not choose the consequences. You realize this morning, friend, that as a child of God, you can make the choice to run from God. You can make the choice to disobey His word, but you do not get to choose. You don't get to choose the consequences. So many times we think, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and do this. I'll live in this. I'll follow this. I'll do watch this. I will participate in this. And it's no big deal. I'll be fine from it. Listen, you do not get to choose the consequences. You do not get to make up your mind, this is the price that I'm going to pay you for my sin. No, you can choose the sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. Would you notice here in this story, first of all, in regards to that, notice the Lord's preparation. Verse number 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah up. Jonah was an individual that made the choice to run from God. He ran from the word of God, and when we disobey the Bible, we are following in the footsteps of Jonah. And so what did God do? God said, all right, because you're running from me, I'm going to have to chasten you. I'm going to have to deal with you. As a father deals with a son, so I'm going to deal with you. And God Almighty sent that whale for Jonah. You know, I remember growing up, my parents had many different forms of discipline. And by the way, I'm for every kind of discipline, all right? And just do it in love, and don't beat your kids to death, all right? But the Bible talks about the importance of discipline, right? And why? Because you know what? If we don't discipline, you know, your kid will be crazy and wild. The Bible talks about it, and so we're for it in the biblical way. But I think about my parents. Man, different forms of discipline. Man, when I was like 5, you know what it was? It was that big old paint stick. And it was that plastic paint stick with the holes in it, right? And then my mama, she made me meek and quiet when she comes to church. But, man, she's brutal when you do wrong. And I'm talking about, man, she becomes crazy. And I'm talking about, you know, you regret seeing mama, you know what I'm saying? And she'd be like, you know, if I did something, she'd be like, go to my room. And I'm like, man, mama, no. No, mama, that's bad news, right? And may I go to mom's room? And man, she pulled that paint stick out and whap, 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 whap. And now I'm talking about, man, it was painful. And it worked for like, until I was like 9 years old. And then I'd go up, and she'd be like, go to my room, and I'd bend over and get spanked. I'd be like, is that the best you got? Disrespectful, so I got double. But, you know, they realized, you know what, time to go to a different form of punishment, right? And so my mom would be like, all right, you're going to go, and you're going to, you know, do a chore. Well, I quickly learned how to get around that. You know, I just did it really bad. Like cutting the grass, all right? I learned how not to cut the grass again, do it really bad. And Mark has compassion on me, right? But, you know, I was like, man, I did the best I could, vacuumed it, right, and left all the you know, Cheerios on the ground. So Mom said, not that way. We're going to go another route, you know, and we're going to go weed the garden. And that was awful, but, you know, New Hampshire, there's not a lot of, you know, growing season for weeds, so that would last for like a month and a half, right? And then my parents got really, really bright, and they said, the best way to get a hold of Steve is to fine him. And then let me just say something. That motivated me to do right, because I did not want my bank account to go down because of my disobedience, right? And man, I have an attitude, that's $10, you know. Disobey, that's $5. It was brutal, you know. Getting fined, I hated it. But you know what? Whenever I did wrong, you know what I never got to choose as a kid? I never got to choose my punishment. I thought after my kids a couple times. I said, what do you want for a punishment? And let me say that's brutal. That's what God did with David. Remember when David numbered the people? God came to David and said, David, do you want 3 years of famine, 3 months from running from your enemies, or 3 days with the angel of the Lord going down and going through Israel? And boy, David was in a rough place. David got to choose his punishment because he walked with God. But listen, you make the choice to run from God, you don't get to choose the punishment. Hey, can I ask you this morning, what's it going to take for God to get a hold of you? What's it going to take for God to break you? Hey, what does God desire? God desires a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. What is it going to take for God to get you to that place of absolute surrender? I'm talking about where there's a blank piece of paper up before heaven. Father, whatever you want, you just take that blank piece of paper, sign the bottom with your name, and it's not my will but thine be done. What's it going to take to get you to that place? Because that's exactly where Jonah was. God, I'm not going in there with that hardened heart, with that stubbornness. I'm not obeying you. And God said, fine, you're going overboard. Here comes that fish, swallows Jonah whole. I'll be honest with you. I bet you Jonah thought his life was over. When he hit that water, I bet you he thought that ministry was over, that he was going home to heaven because of his disobedience. And yet I'm so thankful that God is a God of mercy. Aren't you thankful that we don't get what we deserve all the time? Aren't you thankful for God is a long-suffering God? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He suffers long with his children. His compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hey, Jonah, you messed up, but man, I've got a special place for you. God's preparation, he prepared that well. Let me just say this, by the way, as a little rabbit trail, a little side note. God prepared that fish for Jonah. You realize that purpose of that fish's life, that big old whale, all right, the purpose of that whale's life was to swallow Jonah home. Let me be honest with you, that's not a glamorous job. I mean, you think about all the sermons preached on the whale? You be honest with you, I would hate to be the whale. I'd be like, yeah, man, my one job was to swallow Jonah whole. I mean, that was the one job that whale had. Let me say this morning, God may have one job for you, and it may not be glamorous, and it may not be in the limelight. Hey, let me just say, I'm a pastor. Every week I got to stand up and I got to preach. You know, sometimes people say, well, you're in the limelight. Man, you're in the spotlight. Everybody sees you. But you know what? Hey, wherever God puts you, be faithful. Be faithful. You know, if your job is to raise your kids, mom, be faithful with that. Don't be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. Now you say, well, pastor, nobody sees all the hours I put into work with my kids and trying to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then my husband's working like crazy and I'm just at home and I've got the dishes and I've got the laundry and I've got the mopping and I've got all these things I got to do and nobody sees the work that I'm doing for God. Listen, be not weary. The song we just sang, written by Charles Wesley. Mrs. Wesley, I think if my memory serves me, she had 13 kids, and most of her kids were used of God, and she was a mama that was faithful in the little things, and John and Charles Wesley come on the scene and impact the world because of a faithful mom. Hey, don't be weary. That may be the job that God has for you. And listen, don't become disgruntled. Just rest in God. Say, God, I understand you've got a plan for me. Your path is a perfect path. And though I may not understand it all, I'm going to be faithful because faith, little is much when God is in it. And that will is faithful. That was just a free side note sermon, all right? But then God's preparation in Jonah's life. He prepared that whale to come for Jonah. Notice, second of all here, notice Jonah's punishment there in verse number 2. It says, then Jonah prayed and the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be in a fish's belly. You know what fish eat? They eat that plankton, right? Well, they eat that plankton, and they eat the other fish, man. I'll tell you what, that probably stunk there in that whale's belly. You think about that? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, how would you like to become fish food? I know Ben and Jerry's ice cream has ice cream fish food, and I wouldn't mind that, all right? That's pretty good stuff. But man, how would you like to eat, you know, be surrounded by rotting food and seaweed and all this? Man, that's where Jonah's at. He's a part of the garbage that whale is swallowing as he's going through. You see him fish, right? You know, the goldfish are like, you know, open that mouth. I'm not going to do it because you'll all be like afterwards, hey, you look real good as a fish. I'm not going down that path. But, you know, you've seen them, man. They're just swallowing everything. Whatever it is, man, they're eating like crazy. There's Jonah. Every new wave, man, here comes more food. All bombarding him. And it's in that whale's belly, Jonah said for 3 days and three nights, that Jonah begins to pray to God. Jonah, why are you praying? Jonah, why are you getting right with God? But you notice here, the punishment, it says, I put this down, why did it take him 3 days in the fish's belly to get right with God? Then I asked myself this question, why am I so stubborn in my life? Why do I need God to hit me with a 2x4? Why, listen, we need to have a sensitive spirit to God. Because when we have a hardened heart, man, that's when the chastisement gets a little bit harder. And that's when the bigger spanking spoon comes out. Hey, here Jonah was in that fish's belly. He begins to cry. Why did he cry in verse number 2? He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He cried because of his affliction.
God had was afflicting him because of his disobedience. You remember the story of Elisha's servant? Remember Naaman came, and Naaman said, "Thank you for healing me, Elisha. And because you healed me, I'm going to give you a reward." And Naaman was healed of his leprosy. Elisha said, "No, don't need it." And that Naaman starts going back home. Well, Elisha's servant goes chasing after him. Remember the story? He says, "Hey, we need some money. We need some garments, some more garments of clothes. Hey, give it to us, right?" And he got that money. He hid it in his house, went back to Elisha. Elisha said, "Where have you been at?" He said, "I've been nowhere. I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing." And Elisha said, "Hey, the leprosy that Naaman had is on you, pal." And you know what? That servant was afflicted with Naaman's leprosy because of his sin. You know, there are people that physically will suffer the chastisement of God because of their disobedience. There are some that I think about Tim Lee. He's an evangelist. And Tim Lee had his legs blown off, he says, his testimony, because he was running from God. And he was over in Nam, and I believe he stepped on a landmine, legs blown off because he was running from God. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't want that to be the case in my life, but you know what? That just may be the case in your life. That's what it's going to take for God to get a hold of you. Hey, Jonah, why are you crying out to God? Why are you getting right with God? Because, man, I'm in great affliction. Man, there's no peace in the Middle East. There's no rest for my weary head. I lay my head on my pillow at night, and man, I'm just discouraged. I can't sleep. I'm tossed to and fro. Hey, I'm afflicted because of my running from God. I wonder, are you going to continue to harden your heart? Or are you going to respond to God? He was under affliction. The smell of garbage must have surrounded him. It must have been awful. It's worse than a 12-year-old's room. I'm talking about, man, it's bad news, right? And Jonah says, "I'm in great affliction." He cried because of his affliction. Look in verse number 3. He said, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All the billows and thy waves passed over me." What a beautiful picture of guilt. Man, the billows and waves all over the place. Man, Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because I've got guilt. Guilt is a wonderful tool that God has given to our conscience to remind us of our need for forgiveness. A guilty conscience. Jonah, why are you getting right? Because of the guilt. Why in verse number 4 it says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yeah, we'll look again toward thy holy temple." Why are you getting right with God, Jonah? Because I'm lonely. Let me say, you run from God, there's no companionship. There's no sweet fellowship. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. You run from God, you're not walking with God. You're not in fellowship. You're not in communion. If you try to pray, you get down on your knees and you're just talking to a wall or a couch or a chair. Hey, you run from God, you'll feel lonely. You'll feel discouraged, defeated. That's exactly where Jonah was, in the belly of the fish all by himself. All by himself. Why are you getting right with God, Jonah? Because I'm lonely there. There's been times in my life when I've been lonely because of my sin. I remember one time I was in 11th grade. Really had I was saved. I was called to preach, but I was struggling, and it was not truly surrounded. I'll be honest with you. I was struggling with my friends. Had wrong friends, and some of my friends were going down the wrong path, and they're away from God. And I just was struggling. I remember it was a couple times at night. I was laying in bed in New Hampshire. It was cold out. Laying in my bed, looking up the stars, and just that loneliness and that guilt. And that emptiness. I remember God just dealt with me through that time. "Hey, Steve, you want to be lonely? You want to live your life outside of my power, my presence? Hey, you can go ahead, but this is what the price is going to be at. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because I'm lonely. I'm lonely." You know, I think about how sin advertises as a good time, but it'll leave you broken and alone. You may surround yourself with people, but you may be broken. I put this down. Why do movie actors and the Hollywood harlots, why do they have to take all those drugs? Why do the rap singers, rock singers, all that, why are they so doped up on drugs and alcohol? I'll tell you why. They got their people surrounding them. I mean, they got their so-called friends that they hang out with. But you know what? They're empty. They're broken. I think about I've seen some documentaries on some of those famous actors that overdosed. And I think about Chris Farley. I'm not a fan of him, all right? Some of you watch him. I don't recommend him. But I watched an interesting documentary on him. And Chris Farley, the Saturday Night Live, you know, he was a guy that everybody thought was the funniest guy out there, right? Overdosed. Right before he died, he said this. He said, "I feel lonely." Why? He was funny. Everybody in America loved him, supposedly. But he was lonely. Why? Because he had no peace. He did not have what the Holy Spirit of God can give. And Jonah, why are you getting right? Because I'm lonely. I'm lonely. We see his affliction, his guilt, his loneliness. Look in verse number 5. He says, the waters compass me about. Even though the soul is standing in that water. He says, the depth closed round about me. Notice the statement, the weeds were wrapped about my head. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because of all the weeds in my life. Because of his problems. Seaweed, I don't know about you, but I hate seaweed. When we went on that Christmas vacation down there in the Caribbean, it was not the right time to go swimming, where we were, the side of the island we were on. Because all the seaweed was coming on shore. I hate seaweed. You say, why, Pastor? Because I feel it rub up against my legs. And I'm like, man, it's probably a shark. My wife, you pray for my wife and I in February. We've got to go and preach a revival meeting in the Bahamas. And somebody has to go, so pray for us. We responded, and we said, here am I, send me, all right? But we have to. I talked to the pastor this week. He said, preacher, he said, you got to come. He said, you can't cancel. I said, all right, I guess I will. So you pray for it. But you know what? Last time I went to the Bahamas and preached, I preached at the church. They asked me, they said, Pastor, you enjoying the beach? It was July, August, somewhere in that range. I said, no, I'm not been yet. They said, if you don't go to the beach, then you're not coming back to preach. And I was staying right on the beach. I'm talking about, you look out the window, there's the beach. You say, why didn't you want to go to the beach? Because of that seaweed. I hate it. Man, rubs up against me. I'm like, that's disgusting, right? But let me just say, Jonah is in a seaweed bath, all right? He's got a seaweed. By the way, some of you ladies go to these fancy spas and drink these fancy teas there with your big old fluffy robe and your big pink fluffy, you know, slippers, and you get these seaweed wraps. You say, how do you know about that, Pastor? Because my wife informed me of them, all right? I'm telling my wife. But you go and pay $442.68 plus a tip. Let me say, that's a bad investment, all right? But Jonah's hanging out in a first-class spa treatment here in the whale's belly, right? What's going on? He's got seaweed all over him. He's got problems in his life. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because of the problems in my life. Hey, I wonder this morning, what's it going to take for God to get a hold of you? What problems has God, what trials, what chastisement does God need to put in your life to get a hold of you? Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because of the weeds. It says in verse number 6, he says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Because of the chains in my life. Man, I've got these chains. I'm a prisoner. Child of God, you better watch out. You run from God, before long you become a prisoner to your sin. It'll entrap you. Boy, you'll be like, I can't get the victory. I can't get the victory that's in Christ. Hey, understand, when somebody is arrested, they put the chains on them. And boy, the shackles when they go into the courtroom. Listen, it's hard to escape when you're chained up, right? Unless you're Houdini. It's hard to escape. Jonah, why are you getting right? Because look at what's taking place in my life. Boy, I'm struggling. We see his punishment, the cry. Man, I'm getting right with God. I think about other characters in the Bible that have lost, that have been in Jonah's situation. Remember Adam and Eve? They walked with God in the cool of the day. They ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. What happened, man? God came to talk with them. They tried to sow on fig leaves, tried to cover themselves in their sin. They began to hide from God. Why? Because of their sin. That's where Jonah's at, running from God. David, after sinning with Bathsheba, had the guilt and a lost testimony. You run from God, there will be a price to pay. Peter denied the Lord and had guilt and great regret. Remember, he went out and wept bitterly because of his sin and his choice to run from God. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Man, because I'm all alone. We see his cry. We see the Lord's preparation. We see his punishment. He's in the belly of the whale. But notice there in verse number 7 through verse number 9, notice his prayer. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah, why are you getting right with your prayer? He remembered being right with God. He remembered what it was like when God would speak. He remembered what it was like when the Lord would come to Jonah and say, go proclaim this message of thus saith the Lord. He remembered what it was like to preach the word and people would respond. Here, Jonah, a God-called preacher, was running from God. He said, as I was in the belly of the fish, I remembered. I remember. Boy, some of you need to remember what it's like being right with God. Hey, do you remember what it was like? By the way, you remember what it was like when you got saved?
Remember what it was like when you felt that Holy Spirit conviction? Maybe it was an altar, maybe it was in your bed, maybe it's in your house, maybe on your couch, wherever that be. But you felt that Holy Spirit conviction, and you asked Christ to save you. Remember the excitement and the joy and the fulfillment that He gave you? Hey, we need to revisit those days, remembering. Hey, forget not, the Bible says, we will remember what God has done for us. Jonah said, in that fish's belly, I remembered what it was like to be right with the Savior. I remember what it was like serving God. Remember what it was like going to church and being faithful and being involved and loving Jesus. It wasn't boredom. It wasn't a duty. But it was a love and a passion for God. I remember being in love with the Savior. Jonah said, I remembered in the fish's belly. That motivated me to pray. He remembered. I think about the prodigal son as he's eating the hog's food, eating the corn husk that the hogs were eating. He remembered what it was like in the father's house. He said, I'm going back to my father's house. That's repentance. Remembering. Remember, I'm away from God. I need to get right with God. In verse number 8, he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He said, hey, I've acknowledged. I've observed lying vanities. I followed after my flesh. I followed after the things I wanted to. I followed the world. I followed my selfish desires. And look where it led me. Look where it got me. I'm in the whale's belly. He observed. He was observant. He acknowledged what sin really was. It was vanity. It was a lie. Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He said, I've looked at the riches and the wealth of the world. I pursued fame and fortune. I pursued building projects. I pursued all these different things that the world has to offer. He said, I came to the conclusion that it's all vanity. I desire to be right with God. He said, Jonah, why are you getting right with God? We see the Lord's preparation. We see His punishment. We see His prayer. But notice in verse number 10, or verse number 9, notice His promise. It says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah, why are you getting right? Jonah said, I'm getting right with God because of the promise I made to Him. He said, I will pay that which I have vowed. Jonah, why are you getting right with God? Yes, I've got problems. Yes, I've got drama. Yes, I've got guilt. I've got loneliness. But Jonah said, you know what? I'm right with God, but here's the reason I'm getting right. Because of a promise I made to Him. You say, preacher, what was that promise? What promise did Jonah... I'll be honest with you. I believe here's what the promise was. I believe the promise was, I'll be what you want me to be. As an invitation hymn goes, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I believe maybe there was a time in Jonah's life where God dealt with Jonah about the call of God to preach. Dealt with him about living for God. Maybe it was an invitation. Maybe it was an altar. Maybe a revival meeting. Maybe in his own personal time with the Lord, God dealt with him about the full-time ministry. And what did Jonah do? Jonah went back on the call of God for his life. He did not keep his vow. The Bible says, if thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay. Don't put it off. For thou hast no pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Can I ask you this morning, Christian, are you fulfilling your promises to God? You know, it burdens me as a pastor. As I look out at the congregation here, and I think about many of you that have, in the last 7 months, you have made the decision for the Lord. Maybe it's, I'm going to read my Bible. Maybe it's going to pray. Maybe I'm going to witness. Maybe I'm going to be the dad or the mom I ought to be. Maybe a young person, you made the decision about your walk with the Lord. You made a commitment to God. And you've gone back on it. You made a promise to God. And you're not fulfilling that promise. You know what Jonah said? Jonah said, God, I made a commitment all to Jesus. I surrendered. I've gone back on that. Now my commitment is I'm going to pay that I have vowed. Can I ask you this morning? Are you fulfilling your promises? You said, Pastor, I made a commitment to read my Bible. Well, are you reading your Bible every day? You made a commitment to pray. Are you praying every day? You see, the problem with Christian life is so many times we make promises and we don't keep them. Jonah said, God, I'm going to pay that which I have vowed. Let me remind you this morning, Christian, that you can choose the sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. You want to live in victory? You want to have the power of God upon your life? Then you've got to make the choice to pay those vows. I wonder this morning, are you like Jonah in the whale's belly? Hey, why don't you move from the whale's belly to having victory to going on for Jesus Christ? Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for the reminder of the importance of Lord, fulfilling our promises to you. Lord, many of us have made commitments to you and we've gone back on them. We've not fulfilled them.
Lord, I pray today that we would respond in a biblical way. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't have to experience what Jonah did, the whale's belly. I pray that we'd just be sensitive this morning and that we'd respond to you. But Lord, whatever it is, I pray that we'd yield. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just wonder how many this morning would say, Pastor Schwenke, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but maybe I'm like Jonah. Maybe I'm not keeping those vows. Maybe I'm not fulfilling the call of God for my life. Maybe I'm going back and I'm running from God. And this morning, God's used His Word in my life to challenge me and convict me. And I need to make a decision about performing and keeping those vows to the Savior. You say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? I need to make a decision. If that, you would just slip your hand up all over the room. Good. Man, good number of hands. Let's make that commitment to God this morning. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I don't know I'm saved. Man, be honest with you, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I know Jesus died for me on the cross and He rose again. And today I need to be saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I need to be saved this morning. Here's my hand. Well, Father, would you work in this invitation? I pray that we would solidify our decisions for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as Chrissy continues to play that hymn of invitation this morning. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. The altar is open. Let's respond this morning. Let's make that commitment to God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's do business with Him right now. Would you come in your seat, make that commitment? How about it? Let's do business with Him. What vow have you made to God that you're not keeping? What is it in your life that God's trying to get a hold of? Chris is going to play through one more verse. How about it? Do you need to respond? You're here today without Christ. Today would be a great day for salvation. Would you come and get that settled? How about a Christian? Let's do business with God. Father, help us to be truly surrendered to you this morning. Lord, I pray that we could echo what the hymnist wrote, I surrender all. Lord, I pray today that you'd be with these your people that have made commitments to you. Lord, help us to obey. Help us to follow you. Lord, I pray that we'd make an impact on this world for the cause of Christ. Would you use us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.